morning.
Good morning.
In chapter 5, verses 8 through 14 of Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, Paul pleads with new Christians to awake and to walk in Christ's light. Let us listen together for God's word. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. In the
Let us be together. Let me God join us this morning. Send your Holy Spirit to be with us that we might see and hear and understand. Send your Spirit to be with us this morning that we might do more than just see and hear and understand, but that we might live as children of light, as disciples of Jesus the Christ. Amen. So this past Monday, I was blessed to go to a lecture at the Faith United Methodist Church in South Burlington titled Practical Buddhism. And the lecturer got up and started off by telling us how earlier that afternoon he had come into the building and he had been buttonholed, he said, by somebody who asked him whether or not Buddhism was a philosophy or if it was a religion. So he used that as a way of sort of describing to us in general terms what Buddhism is and what it isn't. It was a good lecture and worth the drive over there. Coincidentally and interestingly, that night after the kids went to bed, Deirdre and I were watching television, and we saw this investigative news report on MSNBC or CNN or something about an Islamic community in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Now, there were some tensions there in the community about the building of a large mosque, and some of the citizens of the town had gotten together and put an injunction to stop the construction of this mosque. So during the hearing that followed, the plaintiff's lawyer argued for a number of days that Islam is not a religion at all. I think his reason for doing that is because if Islam wasn't a religion, then the Islamic mosque would just be sort of a training ground for terrorists and therefore had no purpose in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. So that was an interesting story in and of itself, but because of my experiences earlier in the day, I sort of connected the dots. And twice in the same day, two of the world's great religions, Buddhism and Islam, had been questioned as to whether or not they were religions at all. Which made me start to wonder, what exactly is a religion? And if Buddhism isn't a religion and Islam is not a religion, then maybe Christianity isn't a religion either. I mean, maybe it's a set of beliefs. Maybe it's a spirituality. Maybe it is a religious system. Maybe it's not a religion at all. So, I thought about that. And I said, well, if Christianity isn't a religion, maybe that's not such a terrible thing. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm very aware these days that the word religion is a dirty word. I mean, who among us wants to be religious? Who wants to be a religious adherent? I mean, who wants to be associated with religious, a word that comes from the Latin ligare, which means to bind. Think ligament, which binds your muscles to your bones. Who wants to be bound? I mean, don't we want to be free? Well, I don't know Paul's mind. I don't know what Paul would say, but I have to imagine that Paul, if he were here, would have some choice words to say to me. Religion or not, he would say, I bet, you are missing the point, okay, in asking such a question. In his letter to the church at Ephesus, She spends the first three chapters of that letter sort of giving us these great theological arguments about what God is doing in and through Jesus Christ. And he says things like this. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel." It's a hymn, really, a prayer. Beautiful. It's typically Paul, who never uses one word when he can use three words. But in summary, basically, he's saying that in Jesus, God has blessed us and redeemed us and showered us with grace so that all things will be gathered up in God. It's a theological claim about who God is and what God is doing in Jesus. Well, here's where things get a little muddy for us this morning. Because in Ephesians chapter 8, verses 8-14, Paul says this, in summary. He says, "Because you were once in darkness, but now in the Lord you are light." That we're to live as the children of the light. Wake up. Rise from the dead, he's saying. Shine such that the darkness around us is exposed and that we live as children of the light. Now, it's all fine and good and well that in Jesus we have been redeemed and showered with grace. But you know, Jesus is gone and Paul is gone and we are left as human beings to try to figure out how to live as children of the light. I mean, what does that look like exactly? And this is where religion enters back into the conversation for us. Because you see, Paul is moving from the theological to the practical. Claiming of who God is, which then determines how we're to live our lives out. And for us, this morning, religion, I'd like to assert, is that which binds us to the practices and the faith and the tradition which clarifies for us and helps us to live out that which pleases the Lord, as Paul says in verse 10. Religion is that which moves the belief from our heads and into our hearts, and importantly, to our hands and to our feet. It's through religion that we become not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. It's through religion that we become not only Christians in name, but Christians in practice. Doing things like we Protestant Christians do in Vermont, you know, like throwing one great hour of sharing breakfasts, thanks to the missions. Like having potluck suppers, like coming together for committee meetings, like having stewardship campaigns, like raising supplies for our college students, like feeding the hungry and clothing the poor, doing religious churchy things like that. All of which hold the potential to be good. And all of which hold the potential to build up the church and ultimately to establish God's kingdom. So, the cat is out of the bag this morning. Meow! It should be obvious to you that this sermon is a defense of religion. Now, I know that makes me a bad 21st century postmodern, post-denominational Christian. That puts me dangerously close to the old, archaic, irrelevant school of Christianity. I'm aware of it. It's because I'm aware of the dangers, and because I think there's a lot at stake in this question of religion, this morning I want to be specific about what type of religion I'm defending. Because I'm not defending the kind of religion that's only about God's grace, that's only about the warm, fuzzy love of Jesus, that asks nothing of us, and requires nothing of us and demands nothing of us and so does nothing. It's the kind of religion that Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great pastor and theologian, called cheap grace. Grace that's all about the warm fuzzy and nothing about the cross at all. So I'm not defending that kind of religion, nor am I defending the religion, on the other hand, that is overly legalistic. You know, that's sort of a list of rules that you have to follow, and you have to check off in order to please the ornery God, and most importantly, the ornery church elders. I'm not defending that kind of religion either, the too easy religion and the too legalistic religion. But what I want to do this morning is to defend the type of religion that starts where Paul starts, that starts with the focus on Jesus Christ and God's love that comes in and through Jesus Christ out to us. I want to defend the kind of religion that starts there, but then moves beyond that. That love is so wonderful and so beautiful and so powerful that it melts your hearts and you can't help but do things in response to it. You know, to shine like children of the light. I want to defend the kind of religion that starts where Paul does and proceeds through the things that Paul proceeds through, that turns us into those who aren't just nominal Christians, but who are Christians in practice, who practice what we might call a light religion that shines so that others can see and exposes the darkness around it and overcomes it. That's the kind of religion I want to defend, because that's the kind of religion I think Paul wants to defend, and I'm pretty sure that's exactly the kind of religion that the world is in desperate need of today. So, I don't know about you, but I always do better when I have a practical example to follow. Like, what's being asked of me if I'm to be a child of the light? What does that look like in real time? How does that look in Jericho under hell, maybe? So, I thought about that question this morning, well, this week, in preparation for this morning, and my lovely wife, Deirdre, for 15 years, reminded me of this community in White Bear Lake, Minnesota, that she heard about. And there's a United Methodist Church there that, the story goes, they had a pastor, Bryce Johnson, who was on sabbatical not too long ago. And he was touring all over Europe, nice sabbatical. He was touring all over Europe, and he came across all of these town ovens, wood-fired ovens. They're all over the place, apparently. And some of them have been around since the 14 or the 1500s. So he was there while they were cooking bread, and the whole community came together. Now, when you go to these community ovens, you bake your bread, but while it's baking, what do? You talk with your neighbors. You get to know your neighbors, and the community develops, and your friendships develop, and your relationships develop. So that idea really spoke to him. So he came back to Minnesota, and he shared that with his congregation, and it became contagious. You know, people got really excited about it, so they decided that, hey, we've got some land. We can build our own community up here. So last April 2010, they gathered together, and they started construction. And $6,200 later, and 1,000 unskilled volunteer hours later, they had this beautiful wood-fired bread oven on their backyard, or side yard, or whatever. And once a month, the first Saturday of the month, they invite the whole community together, and they sign up for these hour-long slots, up to two a day, and they can bake 16 loaves at a time. Sign up for your slot, you put your bread in there, and then you get to know your neighbors. And in this simple way, they build a community. They become the visible church shining outwards into White Bear Lake United Methodist Church. Now, I don't know anything more about that, or anything more about Reverend Bryce than what I just told you. What I do know, though, and maybe all that I need to know, is that they're doing in a powerful and simple way. They are shining upward into the world. Being children of the light, Paul might say. This is a quote from Reverend Johnson. This is in an interview that he did for a magazine. He said, "Daily bread is a life concept. The kingdom of heaven is growing among us, but not always visibly, much like yeast. Many of us have been exceedingly blessed in having our needs met every day, which compels us to try to meet others." It seems to me like a community that has woken up risen from the dead, shining brightly with God's love outward into the world that others might see it and come. But friends, may we here wake up and continue to wake up in ways like that. May we here in Jericho Underhill shine brightly. And may we here in Jericho Underhill unapologetically, boldly proclaim that we're adherents to a light religion.